I want to start by just praying, and then I want us to get into our time together, and we're going to start just with some questions and answers, just because I just want to hear some comments and questions just from our first time together, and then we're going to jump into the issue of calling. Okay, so that's kind of where I want to go in our time together. All right, so up, first three rows, okay? All right, let's pray together, and then we'll jump into our time. Father, we are so grateful that you have called us to yourself, that we are born again, that you've set us free from sin, you've made us alive unto you, you've clothed us in your righteousness, you've taken our sin, you've nailed it on a cross, you've crucified our sin with yourself on your own body, you bore our sins on your own body. Lord, we stand amazed, we stand in awe, we stand rejoicing that you have done the work for us, and that we now have no condemnation. You never look at us and condemn us, because we stand in your righteousness, clothed completely. You see us always in that righteousness. And Lord, you've paid for our sin once and for all, and we are new creations. All of your love, all of your grace, all of your kindness. And Lord, it's this mission, that it's this message we take out on mission, that the world who is dying in their sins might know it, that the world who is consumed with self might know it, that the world who is trying to attain a righteousness by their own works can understand that there is no such thing. It's impossible. Father, we just praise you that you've given us this message. I thank you for these people here that have a passion for missions. I pray that I can come alongside that and aid it in our time together. It's through your Son we pray. Amen. Come on up here and take a seat. So I wanted to start off by just getting some feedback from you all. Regarding the first session, how many of you found that was really helpful to you? I don't like frothy, like fake stuff. Tell me that. How many feel like that was really, really helpful to you and beneficial? Okay, good. How many felt like, man, that was like putting me to sleep? Next time, don't preach so long. Okay, good. Well, hopefully that was. Can I introduce a friend of mine, Anthony Basaba, right here? Anthony is one of my guys in Uganda. One of the pillars in which God has allowed us to build this ministry on. And so what's that? You know what? The official language in Uganda, thank God, is English. And so there's 52 different languages in the country. I live in a village that speaks Luganda, and I don't know it as well as I want to know it. And partly I do a lot of ministry throughout the whole country, so I'm not forced to learn their language, but I live in a village that speaks Luganda, so I need to learn the language. So, yes.
Do you currently live in Uganda? Like, or did you just come up here?
I currently live in Uganda full-time. That's my home. So I've been there 7.5 years, and it's been a crazy journey. So I'll tell you a little bit more about that journey and what's going on there just in my introduction here this time. Yes?
How much time did you put into, like, learning the language of Uganda?
You know, every missionary is different. For me, I haven't put as much time as I should, partly because I right away jumped into ministry. But it is my passion to learn it. I've not put enough time. Let me just leave it that way. But it is best to learn the language and to know it well. And that's the thing, is as you guys think, and this goes along with us talking about missions, you have to understand that if you're going to a foreign land that speaks a foreign language, that's how you're going to minister. You're going to minister in that tongue. And so that needs to be a big consideration in terms of missions. Some people, they read a novel and they go out toward missions and they're so excited because of this novel they read, they want to be just like them, but they don't realize that, you know, a good percentage of what they're doing is learning a language, learning a culture before they ever even start ministering. And it's important you understand those realities.
So, I ask that because I have a close friend of mine who is learning
Yeah. Well, and that's very, very common. And so, and there's different ways to do it. Some people could just go over to the country, get a job, and learn that way, which I would be more inclined to do that than raise support, then go spend the first 4 years learning a language. But that's me personally. But if you want to know the culture, one way is just jump in and get immersed in that culture, learn the language from the people. That's the best way to learn the language. But that is a real element within missions. Yes.
How did you pick just Uganda? Why not North or South Sudan or Zimbabwe?
I'll explain it as we're in our time here together. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Yeah, within 52 different languages, there is not the Bible in each of those languages. A lot of them, what they do is they're kind of, they're of the same language family. So typically, like, they'll then all unite under a certain grouping, like Swahili. Swahili has a bunch of different, sects of Swahili. And so what happens, and rather than having the Bible translated in all of them, their common language will be Swahili. So then they learn that. So in Uganda, Luganda is one of the bigger tribes. And so therefore in that tribe, the Bible's in that language. So the bigger tribes get the translation work. The smaller tribes don't get that translation work. The Bible translated into their particular languages. So yes. How long did I prepare? Basically, I was in the business world 8 years beforehand. But preparation, I went to 4 years of college. Then I went to 4 years of seminary. And then I was in the business world for 8 years. And then I went to Uganda. And to me, that's very important. And we're going to talk about that in our time here together. Yes? Yeah, they do have all different forms of transportation. The most common form is walking, which is a universal transportation means. The second commonest form is riding a bicycle. Then the third common is a boat-a-boat-a or a motorcycle. And then the common person then will take a taxi. In a longer journey, will take a taxi or a bus. And then if you are rich, then you'll have your own car. So. Well, unfortunately, it's more like a Chevette. So, yes.
Are you through, like, the International Mission Board or any other?
You know what? I work with many Southern Baptist missionaries in Uganda, but I am independent. I went and decided to start my own mission. And so I'm a little unique that way.
So how well did you have to financially prepare them? Isn't that the 8 years, too?
Somewhat. Somewhat. I went and... I had some resources, which I made some investments that can bring resources to me. But what I did was I allowed those to go to the mission in which I was a part of, and I raised support for myself personally. And that way people were a part of supporting me and were behind me, but then I was able to give some personally to the mission in which I was involved in. And so that's still the case today. So, money is a painful reality within this thing. You got to fund what you're doing. And actually, for me, I fund myself as a missionary, and then I fund our whole mission, so which is a lot of money. So it becomes a lot of work. But it's all part of the mission. So let me tell you a little bit about my calling with the desire to answer the question, how do I know whether I am called to international missions or local missions? And we all know that everyone is a
missionary.
Everyone. If you are saved, you are a missionary. If you have been transformed, you can't help but want others to know the joy of the salvation that you've received. I really believe that there are so many people that are not saved but know truth. They've never been saved by the truth. And that's why there's no motivation for missions. They know it, but they've never known it here. They've never really known that they're a sinner in need of a Savior, and they come to salvation. And I believe that that is a true reality that's probably even present in this room. And so in light of that, but when someone's saved, they become a missionary. That's part of the salvation in which you receive just instantaneously. You become a missionary. So everyone is a missionary. I think this track is focused primarily on those who want or have some sort of interest in international missions. So the question is, how do we know whether I am called to international missions or just local missions? And so I want to answer that by giving us five answers. But before I do that, I figured I'd share a little bit about my own story. And then what I can do is work it into some of these things that we have here. You know, as far as calling, it's very ambiguous in some ways. When we read the Bible, we read in Acts chapter 9, Paul's calling to missions, if you will. And he was saved on the road of to Damascus, and God says, "I've set you apart to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles." You know? So here God comes to him in a very real, physical way and calls him to go preach to the Gentiles. "I set you apart as this." So it's God setting someone apart for a mission. That's how it was there. Jeremiah is the same. In Jeremiah chapter 1, we see the same thing take place. And Acts chapter 6, here Isaiah sees the king, has this incredible experience with God himself, and God then comes and shows him his own sin. And then all of a sudden, God says, "Hey, I need someone to go." And Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." And I really do think that that's the process. God gives us an overwhelming sense of the gospel in our lives and then sends us to go out with that message. And so that becomes a radical, real thing. But anyhow, there's three illustrations of calling in the Bible, but it's hard to draw from those calling passages, Isaiah 6, Jeremiah 1, and Acts 9, principles. It's not easy, and I don't even think they're designed to tell us about how we know our calling, because God doesn't necessarily come in a physical way today and say, "Brother," what's your name? Huh?
Tanner.
He doesn't come and say, "Tanner, go to China." You know, that never happened to me, and I don't think it happens to you. If it does happen to you, let me know so we can put you a little bit in a loony bin, you know. So he doesn't come in a physical way like that anymore. It's done more through subjective means. And so, therefore, when you deal with the issue of calling, it can be a little confusing. But I want to give you some principles that would aid you as you discern God's calling for your own life. Let me tell you a little bit about my story. I grew up in a Christian home that wasn't Christian. We went to church, but I don't think my parents really knew the Lord. I don't think my brothers knew the Lord. And I know that many of them didn't know the Lord. And we went to a church that was very much
feel good church.
Thank you, buddy. You were listening yesterday. It was a feel good church, and the gospel wasn't really preached. Well, it's in that situation where I began to study the Bible and began to see what the gospel was. Well, I then became burdened that if this is what the Bible says, others need to know it. Oh my goodness. And so I became a missionary, if you will, in my own church to try and help others know the truth of the Bible. And let me tell you guys have to come to the point where you own your own faith. You're driven in your own faith. You want to know it for yourself. And if you're not there, you need to get there, because that's when truth comes alive. And you got to drive yourself to know your faith and to own your faith, and it becomes yours. You want to experience the gospel, and you're driven to that end. And so what happened for me is I instantaneously became a missionary because I'm experiencing what the truths of the gospel are. And that all went to, but I never as a kid read a missionary novel. I remember watching a movie once, and I thought that was cool, but I never had a passion or a drive for missions. My mission in my mind was to the American church. I wanted to go to the American church and help them know the truth of the gospel. That's what I was driven for, and that's what I was driven toward. So what happened was, as I was driven in that way, I ended up, by God's grace, going to the master's college. And there I began to learn the truth and get immersed in the truth. And it was like that truth then went with my zeal. And everything I was learning as a kid was affirmed. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I knew the Bible said that. And it created a greater passion and a greater love for the truth and for the Word of God and its sufficiency. And so as I grew, then when I was in college, I went on a missions trip. First time exposed to missions. I went on this missions trip and I began to say, hey, Lord, what do you want from me? And on that missions trip, I got exposed to people around the world who hear the truth. I mean, who don't get to hear the truth. They're there. They have a hunger for the truth, but they don't get to hear it for themselves. And I became burdened. I'm like, wait a second here. Who's going to go to these people? Who's going to help them? I remember spending hours where people would just ask questions. And I became deeply moved, deeply burdened that someone has to help these people know the truth. And that impression was laid upon my heart in those college years. Well, I knew I had to finish college. And I know I had to, go to seminary. And so I went back and I finished college. I went and got into seminary. And that's where I got that training. And I got married. And my wife was kind of like, hey, my vision of being a wife is to be a pastor. We have a white fence around our house. And I just cook meals. Well, and so she was kind of pushing me that direction. And for me, I was kind of like having this burden in Africa, but not knowing how to explain it. But I was content. I just wanted people to know the truth. But while in seminary, I started working to provide for my wife. And I was working, the Lord started blessing my business. Well, so here my business ends up becoming explosive. To where I'm doing all kinds of toys for Hallmark Canada, Aflac, and different things like that. And I'm like, Lord, why in the world are you doing this? But I always knew that God called me to be a preacher. I knew that God called me to be a preacher. And so I was impassioned to preach. I had to preach. And I even remember feeling inadequate in the areas of preaching. And some people come and said, Shannon, your grammar is all jacked up. And you should just be a biblical counselor. You shouldn't be a preacher. And I was so burdened by that. And I was like, oh, my goodness. But I knew that God called me to preach. And I said, God, help me with my grammar issues. Help me with my inadequacies. And it's interesting, even as you see some of these people, like in Jeremiah's calling, he felt the inadequacy of his own inability to speak. And he cries out and God says, I'll be your lips, and he gives them that ability. And so I just kept going. I had a burden to preach. I had a burden to be a pastor, so I continued on. So then from there, what happened was I wanted to just find out and kind of close the door to Africa. I knew that God didn't call me to be a businessman. I was shocked, like, why are you blessing this business? But I knew that wasn't my calling. So I went to my boss and said, boss, I'm going to go and I'm going to begin to just evaluate what's out here in the other fields in Africa. So I went and I decided to take a trip to Africa. And when I went to Africa, I got there and this opportunity got opened to me. And I, again, came among these people, and I'm like, I remember I did a conference, and at this conference, I began to teach. There were a number of people giving seminars to speak, and I was given the first one, so I began to speak and began to teach. Well, afterwards, people just started asking questions, and the question and answer would go on and on and on, and I'm like, these people don't know the answers to these things? Then the person who had the second seminar said, Shannon, I don't want to talk on that. I want to hear what you have to say on that. And so they gave me their seminar. At the end of the week, I taught all of the seminars because they all wanted to know what God's word had to say on it. And these question and answer times would go for 3 and 4 hours. And I'm like, here are people so hungry for the truth. Someone's got to go and help these people. Someone's got to help train these pastors. And then an opportunity got opened to me to train these pastors. And that's when I realized, I think God's calling me to this field. And then with that, my personality kind of engaged with the African thing. Everybody here thinks I'm weird, whereas in Africa, they actually think I'm kind of cool, And so all of that was kind of my own experience. Yes.
Now, how did your wife react
That's a great question, and she's sharing that part of it. So you got to go check with your girlfriends in the other room because she's sharing a little bit of that aspect of her calling.
But the problem, though, I don't have one.
Well, you got to go make some. Come on, hurry up. So what ended up happening was so for my wife, she came along because God was just doing a work on her. But see, as a man, as a husband, if God calls me, my wife is given a role as well. What's her role? What's her role? Her role is to be a helper. Thank you, my brother. Her role is to be a helper. She's to help me in the mission in which God has called me. So she had told me she was willing to go. And I said, honey, I don't want a wife that's willing to go. I want a wife that's wanting to go. And so God had to work on her heart and give her that desire to want to go. And as God gave her that desire, we went out as a team ready to conquer. My wife has been the greatest helper in the world. And I could weep before you of what an incredible wife God's given me. And you need to know that if you want to be a missionary, you better marry properly. Because a wife can be the biggest hindrance or the biggest help to your ministry. Are you hearing me there? She could be the biggest hindrance or the biggest help to your ministry. And so you get a woman that is ready to go anywhere for the cause of Christ. Amen? Amen? And I can go to this youth pastor here. Am I right? As even a youth pastor, she could be the biggest help or the biggest hindrance. And so get a wife that's willing. So that gives you a little bit. So I ended up working for 4 more years. And then I went out to the field and I started my own mission called SOS Ministries. And I realized, okay, that's why God blessed my job, so that I can then start this mission in Uganda. And I began to take my resources from the toy business and began to throw them toward my own mission. And so that was kind of my calling. And I just give that as a background so as that we share some of these principles, that then we can relate some of them. Yes, sir. All from Uganda. And what's interesting, and this is the unique thing about it, I started working with the Anglican Church in Uganda. And as I went, the Lord blessed the ministry, but then there were some officials that shut it down. And so for the first 3 years, so I got to Uganda, I poured all these resources, I moved my family, and everything that I went out there for crashed. But I knew that God called me to Uganda. So I said, I just waited and said, God, what are you going to do? I know you've called me to train pastors. And that's when the Lord opened the door to work with the Baptist Union in Uganda. And now I work with the Baptist Union has 1,500 churches. And I work strengthening the Baptist churches in that country. And we are just going bonkers trying to help this union become strengthened in Christ. And it was in a time in which there was a complete void. And so we've been able to go in there in the midst of that void and strengthen that union. And I've gathered all these Baptist pastors that are missionaries that are out there, and I've kind of rallied them again anew under the union and trying to do what we can to strengthen that union. But I knew that the calling I had was I wanted to see pastors trained. That was what I knew God had called me to do. What's that? Well, now I'm working with 1,500 of them. So in Uganda, I do two things. I work with the Baptist Union, working with 1,500 churches and trying to strengthen that whole denomination. And then second thing I do is I wanted to go, and I thought, okay, if I'm going to do a training center, I don't want to do it in Kampala because nobody lives in the main city. Most pastors don't live in the main city. Let me go to the village setting. So I decided to move into the middle of a deep rural village, even deep for most Ugandans. And so we moved in the middle of this deep rural village, and we said to ourselves, how can we reach this village for Christ? And the Lord has allowed us to reach this community for Christ. And now we have 100 adults going to our church, 90 people going to Sunday school, and 150 kids there. And we started, there were means in which strategies which we put together to reach this community for Christ. Yes? Basically, right now, I've been doing conferences, I've been doing visitations, I've been doing big picture things to help shape their mentality. You know, there's seeds that cause us to grow, And I've been trying to plant those seeds, a high view of God, a high view of his word, a clear understanding of the gospel. So right now I'm planting those things. The goal is to take and begin to train those pastors from nuts to bolts. And with that, I would do both. I would do theology and I would do practical. And those are, theology is practical, but also there are some pragmatic things that people need to learn too. Yeah. Yep. That's a great question, because there is a lot of missions that says, hey, let's not teach. Let's teach them in stories because they learn in stories. Or let's teach, you know, do they learn propositional? And I would say this. I think one thing we need to wake up to realize, people are people. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. We all think the same. We have all the same capacity to think. I think you can start with them and what maybe they're used to of stories or whatever, but you don't leave them there. You've got to take them to propositional. Why? Because our Bible is written with propositional truth, not just stories. It's written with both. And so we want to use both methods. And so I would fight back a little bit on story time, solely story time. I think that is a great method to use what they're used to reach them. But we need to take them from there to propositional. Because the Bible and all of our New Testament outside of Acts and the Gospels is propositional. So we need to help them see that. That's my own thing. Others would disagree, and that's fine. I'll love you anyways. But I think we need both. And people can think. We don't want to insult someone to think that they can't think. They can. They just need some more work to that end. But it's important that they learn how to think and dissect truth. So let me give you some principles that you can know your calling. Know whether you're called to international missions or local missions. But we're all called to... Thank you very much. We're all called to?
Missionary.
Everybody say, I am a missionary. Thank you very much. First principle that I would give you is that if you're called to full-time international missions, and full-time international missions, and let me just say this, there is an option of being part-time international missions. You could go work with an embassy where I have a full-time job, get paid, but then as well be in an international setting. And I would compel you to such ideas. You want to be businessmen? There's great money in international business. Phenomenal money to that end. Because others aren't willing to do that. So consider that. Part-time, so you use that same part-time that you would here, but you're using it, investing in a mission, investing in something here. I think it is a phenomenal way, especially as maybe even a stepping stone, if you will, toward a missionary, full-time missionary platform. But part-time missionary is also a great option. And I would encourage you, someone to think, some of you want to be businessmen, you can get your CPA degree and go out there and be a CPA for somebody, some big organization. Maybe it's Compassion International. Maybe it's, you know, some of these organizations. Great option. Yes, sir.
Like part-time, but what do you think, how many times should you go, like a month?
You're saying you want to live here, but then be able to do, what I would say is make sure that you're needed. You can do work here. Like we have a guy here that works here, and he helps our ministry severely, full-time really, here. And I would say that's a better approach than going here, there, because of the money that takes to go there. I would say go there enough to keep your heart encouraged and engaged in the mission that you're there, but work here full-time to assist it. And so, but going back and forth, you'll never know the people, you'll never know the culture, you'll never know the mentality by that. So dive into one or the other. And so we all want our cake and eat it too, right? But that would be my encouragement. So with that, there are other options than full-time international missions. You know, just like here, everybody here is called to missions. Some will be full-time and they'll be pastors or they'll be evangelists or there'll be something here. There'll be a full-time missionary domestically. But the rest of you will be full-time domestic missionaries here. You'll be in your jobs, but you'll also be missionaries in those jobs, right? But what I want to say, how do you know whether you're called full-time to international missions? First principle I'd give you is this. God will give you a heart for missions internationally or locally. God will give you a heart for international missions. Let me just leave it there. God will give you a heart for international missions. So God will lay it on your heart. It'll be a burden in which he lays on your heart. Just like I told you, for me, out of nowhere, I had no desire for international missions at all. I remember always having a passion for the local church. But I went to Uganda, and all of a sudden, Uganda became in my bloodstream. Where all of a sudden, I'm bleeding Uganda and bleeding Africa. And I'm like, where did that come from? And I remember I became a youth pastor. And I got this youth pastor. Everybody's getting excited for the Lord. And parents thought they were joining a cult. And they started pulling their kids out. And then another kid came to my youth group, and they had a wolf mask on. I'm like, a wolf mask? What are you doing? So we were in a circle, and I was preaching to them. They had a wolf mask on. I'm like, what are you doing? And all she'd do is she'd go, "Arr." I'm like, what? Is this girl a freak or what? Can you please take that off? "Arr." I'm like, look. Am I dealing in a circus here? And so I just said, you know, unless you take that wolf mask off, you're going to have to be outside. So I just escorted her outside. You know, but that, I'm like, she growled at me. At least she didn't bite me. But I'm like, here in Uganda, they're like, give me truth, give me truth. And here I'm fighting with someone who wears a wolf mask. You know, it was like I had to shove truth. And I'm like, so the Lord just began to use experiences like that in my life to continue to say, Uganda, Uganda. So I would say the first thing you'll know in terms of your calling is God will put it on your heart. And I would allow you to even think in terms of domestic missions here. You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that those who aspire to that of eldership. God's calling to be an elder, to be a pastor is first as well. He puts it on your heart. And so nobody has to feel guilty that they don't go to international missions. So if you feel that way, get rid of that. That's stupid. Remember, you're clothed in his righteousness. God doesn't care. Just do whatever you want. Be free. All right? Enjoy life. You're free. Okay? And just serve out of your love. And whatever he puts on your heart, do. Okay? You don't have to feel all this obligation. You're clothed in his righteousness. Just rest in his righteousness. Enjoy it, baby. All right? You're free. Woo! You know, you're free. So enjoy that freedom, you know, and serve out of love. So if he puts Africa on your heart and he keeps it on your heart, well, then the reality is begin to explore those options and see. And a lot of times I would tell everyone here, you guys all should go on a mission trip at some point internationally just to get exposed. I really believe we need less international missionaries. So I'm teaching a track on missions. I really believe we need less.
Why?
Because a lot of missionaries over there, they're not called to a mission. They're doing it out of obligation instead of because there's a deep burden that they have to accomplish something. Today you have missionaries who are tour guides giving safaris. I'm like, wait a second here, you know. But we're spending millions of dollars in missions, and I think I think you could remove a lot of missionaries from the field, and you'd never have one iota of impact that results from that. And I think if we need to get missionaries who are on mission, but that'll be another point. Did you have a question?
Yeah, like how is that evident? I guess you gave the example of the tour guide, but like in general, how do you know a missionary who doesn't have a burden for the gospel?
Well. Let me go through here a little bit and ask that a question again if I don't answer it, okay? But the first thing you would know for full-time missions is God puts it on your heart. Listen, guys, don't feel guilty if you don't go to international missions, okay? There's not one that's more spiritual than the other. We should all be about mission, and we should feel that obligation out of love for our Lord and love for others, right? To help them know truth. But we don't need to feel guilty that we're not, you know, an international missionary. So release that from that. But if God begins to put it on your heart, maybe that is a calling. Maybe that is a calling. So we don't know yet. Just because you have this desire. And let me tell you, I can come in here, I can preach a message, and you're like, well, send me, I'm ready. But that doesn't mean you're called to go to missions, you know. But a lot of people, out of that emotion of reading novels and emotions of watching, like, these movies. You're ready to go. Send me. And that should be the heart of all of us, but it doesn't mean that that's where we're called. I remember walking an aisle. My pastor was talking about Russia, and the doors just got open, and he says, we need people to go. I walked the aisle. I said, I'll go. Send me. I was still in high school, you know. But any Christian is motivated to go to preach the gospel to people who have never heard it, right? And so that doesn't necessitate calling. It may be, but we're not sure. So first thing I would say, God will give you a heart for that mission, for that field, or to be a missionary, international missionary. Second thing I would say is this, that God will give you a mission. God will give you a mission. I am amazed on how many people in the world, missionaries there are in the world, that have no mission. I am staggered by this reality. And the system has been set. Missionary agencies have often been set up because there was a missionary who had a mission. And so therefore, a group in the States began to say, let me come alongside and aid you in that mission. So a mission agency was established to fulfill a mission on the field. Like, I have SOS Ministries that I established to help facilitate my mission in Uganda. I want to have a mission. I want to see it accomplished. We must impact Uganda for the cause of Christ. We must see strong churches throughout the country of Uganda, and I'm not going to rest until that happens. So that's my mission, and I have an agency that I've started, SOS, that is aiding to facilitate that mission. That's how most missions start. Well, the problem is that sometimes then the missionary dies. And then what happens is that mission just perpetuates. We need someone to do this, and then they go do this. So what happens, there are a group of people that they just sign up to, I want to be a missionary. They go to the mission agency. They go and say, hey, go be a tour guide. So they go and they're a tour guide. We need to get exposure, so can you do that? And sometimes I think, well, what about you, missionary? Do you have a burden? What's your mission? You understand what I'm saying? So what I would say is that's not the best approach. But if you're going to be a missionary, be on a mission. Missionary. It is a man who has a mission. And that's why I described being a missionary is someone, a person who is on mission to reach the lost or to strengthen the church. If that's not your heart, then you're going to get over there and you're just going to wait for someone to tell you what to do. And that's a lot of missions today. Because they said, hey, I want to be a missionary. My dad was a missionary, so let me go in and be a missionary. But you guys, if you want to be a missionary, have a mission. Have a mission. Don't waste anybody's mission where you don't have a mission. And know what that mission is. And you go to that mission agent saying, this is my mission. And I have a burden for these people. Send me to do this mission. You understand what I'm saying? If you have no mission, then don't be a missionary. You're like, Shannon, duh. And of course, but let me tell you, the amount of people. Some people's joke is that someone didn't have a job to do, couldn't get a job here in the States, so they decided to be a missionary. And it's too often that's true. And that's why I would say that we don't need more missionaries. We need more people who are on mission and they're driven. They've got to accomplish this. Listen to the Apostle Paul, and I want you to know Paul's heart. The Apostle Paul, the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, he was called to go to the Gentile people. He was called that the Gentiles would know the gospel. Paul knew that I had to get to Rome. And you'd see him building churches on his way over to Rome. But the problem is he couldn't get to Rome. He kept being prevented. The picture is he's running to Rome and he keeps getting prevented. And it's like, I don't know why. And he writes to Rome and says, I keep being prevented. I want to get there. Paul gets an idea. I'm going back to Jerusalem. And everybody's like holding him down. Don't go to Jerusalem. Do you know what's going to happen? He says, I don't care. I am going to Jerusalem. Because, see, Paul knew that the center of the world at that moment was Rome. And if he can get to Rome, get the gospel in Rome, then the gospel will spread to all the Gentile worlds, and thus he will fulfill his mission. So everybody's holding him down. No, Paul, no. Paul says, I'm going. Goes right into Jerusalem, goes right into the temple. He gets arrested, and he puts up this card. I'm a Roman citizen. So what do? They send him to Rome by boat. And he did all that he might fulfill his. And that's why we have the book of Romans, which is the most systematic gospel ever written, ever. But that was Paul. Paul had a mission. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that I am under obligation to both of the Jews, to the Greeks and the barbarians. There was a mission. There was a drive. There was an obligation to fulfill his God-given calling before God. And my friends, if you're going to be an international missionary, then you must be burdened with a mission. So you'll know your calling is, it won't just you have a heart desire, but you'll have a mission that you want to accomplish. And let me tell you, it's that mission that will keep you there. It's that mission that will drive you. Let me tell you, I would love to leave Uganda. I'd love it. I like America more. But what drives me is my mission. If God has called me to this, I must fulfill it. I can't come home till my mission is complete. And so therefore, I'm driven by that. Go ahead. Too far. Too far. But it's guys like this that give me hope. My Basaba here. We have a mission to accomplish. In Africa, it takes a lifetime to make an impact. Maybe four lifetimes. We'll see. But the reality is you keep going. You keep going against all odds. You keep going and you keep going and you keep growing until you're just crying out. And all that can help you is God himself. And you keep relying on God, and just taking the beatings. But in the midst of it all, God keeps you relying on him, but enough openness to where you're seeing God do things. And you say, oh, hallelujah. And so we are both excited and depressed all in the same day. But it's your mission that drives you. Third thing that you must have if you have a calling is God will give you a sense of inadequacy, but the skills or giftedness necessary to accomplish the mission. God will give you a sense of inadequacy, but the skills and giftedness necessary to accomplish the mission. So behind your mission, if you want to be, you want to train pastors, but you don't really have an ability to teach, then you know what? Let me just help you. God didn't call you to train pastors. And there are a lot of people who they can't communicate very well that go and decide to be a teacher. Well, wait a second here. You're not going to be effective. You're going to cause everyone to sleep in class. You know, if I said, oh, I believe God's called me to be a conference speaker, but every one of you are knocked out asleep right now, then the reality I realize, okay, wait a second, maybe I'm not called. And you guys would say, Shannon, you're not called, right? Thanks, bud. But that would be the reality, is that for us, if God has given you a mission, he is going to equip you for that mission. And what's interesting, you look at Moses. Moses did not, but Lord, my speech, you know, and God's like, I'll give you the words. I'll aid you in that. I think Moses was a great leader. I think he had tons of giftedness. He was just afraid. And the Lord gives you enough inadequacy to show that he is adequate, right? Amen and amen? And so the reality is he will equip you for the purposes for which he is sending you. Some of you guys may not want to lead a mission, So some of you guys might want to lead. So God is going to give you the skills to be a leader. But let me tell you, he'll also show you that you need help. And so what he's going to do is he's going to give you some inadequacies, so you need to get support help. Okay, and so you'll get support help, and then you're going to need supporters. So some of you must say, Shannon, I just love to help. I just love to support. So then you'll know your mission is to help someone who is a leader. Does that make sense? And so he'll give you the giftedness. You'll be afraid to lead out there and get out there, but you'll find so much joy in just helping someone lead, and so much administrative service, and you just love to do that, and he'll equip you for that purpose. Does that make sense? Some of you guys are like, man, I have no desire for international missions, but man, I want to make money. So he's going to give you that desire to provide for those missions. And I would even tell all of you, if you're businessmen, give your money away. It will fuel your passions and be a part, not to everyone, but find those missions. Find that mission and tag alongside it and say, this is my mission. I'm going to give to it and be a part of it. And it'll rejuvenate you in terms of your business. And then always put money aside and give it to people in your community. And just put it in an envelope, no name, give it to people in your community, because every time they open it, they'll say, hallelujah, God has provided, and they'll worship God because of the money you give. What a great calling. Some people say, Shannon, could you be a businessman? I loved it. I loved it. I loved even giving and all of it. It was awesome. But I had a greater burden, but I did love it. So God will give you a sense of inadequacy, but he will give you the skills or the giftedness necessary to accomplish your mission. Fourth thing God will do, God will sovereignly oversee the timing of your going out to make sure you're properly equipped, you're properly ready. Let me help you understand what I mean this. God works through circumstances, okay? God works through circumstances. The fourth, let me say it. God will sovereignly oversee the timing of your mission or the going out to accomplish your mission to make sure you're properly equipped or ready. The Apostle Paul, remember, we realize in Romans, the Apostle Paul wanted to go to Rome, wanted to go to Asia Minor, but even though he wanted it, felt burdened for it, what happened? The circumstances did not allow it. We don't know what those circumstances were. We just know he wasn't allowed. And so sometimes you could sit there and say, oh, but I want to go to Asia Minor. I mean, that's my calling. But you're being hindered. Well, wait a second here. Stop. If you're being hindered, that is God sovereignly working in those circumstances to not enable you or allow you to go. So with that, you know that God's calling right now is not for that. Does that make sense? And so that becomes clear. And let me give you a story in my situation. I had a sending church. I was ready to go. And I was pushing the sending church. Come on, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And they were just dragging their feet. It was frustrating. And are you coming along or are you not? And they weren't giving us a lot of direction. And so I said, okay, I'm going to go at this time. So I kind of like, you know, you're not giving me direction. I'll give you direction, and you kind of come alongside it. And what happened was I had given this, hey, I'm going to go here. Well, I come up to the month beforehand, and I have a house, beautiful house. I sell my house. I'm getting ready to load everything into a container. And all of a sudden, hold on one second. All of a sudden what happens is they call me and say, you know what, Shannon, we're not ready. We want you to wait another year. Oh, that was frustrating. I'm like, you couldn't have told me 6 months ago, you know? But with that, God was sovereignly working over those circumstances, okay? And so with that, your calling will fit within the circumstances in which God is allowing. Let me even say this, and I want to say this as part of it. Part of that timing for you young people, some of you are going to leave here and say, I want to go to missions, but you're not equipped. You don't have the education. I remember when I came back from Kenya and Uganda the first time, I was ready to go. Problem, I hadn't finished college. And then I get done with college. Okay, I'm ready to go. Problem is I hadn't gone to seminary. Listen, do me a favor. You want to go to missions? Become thoroughly equipped for the mission that you're going to do. Be thoroughly equipped for the mission you're going to do. And I'm going to try and get some more practical things that way in terms of how to prepare and different things like that in the last time together. But be, if you are called to the mission, the timing will be right. And you'll be thoroughly prepared, thoroughly equipped to accomplish that mission. Okay? So the timing, God will work on those timings. So chill, relax. Listen, there are so many missionaries that go to the field who don't have the proper education. Then they get out there, they have nothing to offer. It's their zeal that takes them out there, but they haven't done the first work of being prepared. Okay? And so make sure that the timing is proper. I'm going to give you one more. Did you have a question, buddy?
Steve? Now,
I don't have a mud hut, because in Africa, if I had one, they'd all laugh at me. I actually have a very big home made out of local materials, I mean, bricks and things like that. And it's a nice home, but we have tons of people in it because it's kind of the mission station. So we have an office in it. We have tons of people in it and things like that. And so, but it's a nice home. And part of it for me, I wanted to make sure that my wife had a nice home that she was comfortable and she felt loved and safe in. And so that was a value of mine, and so we made that happen when we went out.
Do you
and
have
so.
A white fence around it?
You know, we don't. But what is funny is when I came back from Uganda, I was being killed by taxes, so I bought a house. And actually, I bought a house in a very, very nice area, and we had a white picket fence around it. And my wife says, you know, and so we, my wife, when we first moved in, this is, oh, Lord, make these 2 years extend for a long time. By the end of it, she was like, look, I can care less about the white picket fence. I want to live for heaven. And that's the beauty of it. But we did have a white picket fence. So the last thing I would say, and I would say that this is of utmost importance regarding your calling, is God will give you godly church elders and mentors that will affirm the mission and your skills as a missionary. God will give you godly elders and mentors that will affirm the mission and the skills as a missionary. I want you to hear me, and I want you to look at me, young people, when you're done writing that. Many of us young people are zealous, which we love. And I was that wild horse just like you, ready to go after it. But listen, God works through mentors. God works through discipleship. God works through a church and church elders. And the reality is, if you are called to the mission, your elders must come along. They must affirm your giftedness. Remember, Paul, even before Paul went out, the elders of the church there of Antioch laid hands on him and pushed him out, right? And you look at, that's what missionaries throughout the history, they have an affirmation by elders. And then they're pushed out. God's timing will work as elders come along you, they affirm you, and then they push you out. And my friends, do not go out apart from your local church. Don't. God's will work through the system which He has created, which is through the local church. And those elders will affirm that, and they will make sure that they will affirm you. And I personally think the church, more than anything, must affirm the missionary. I think, and this is more for churches, I think that they won't always be supportive of all elements of the mission. I think of the Apostle Paul. The church in Jerusalem would have never supported Paul's mission. To go to the Gentiles? No way. But they did affirm the man and affirmed his gospel. And so it doesn't have to always, it can be a little crazy for you personally, but the man is who we send out. So what questions do you have regarding calling? Was this helpful for you guys?
Yeah.
Okay, good. What questions do you have regarding calling that I can answer in our last few minutes? I know you guys have been asking questions as we've gone along. Ask anything. Go ahead.
Would you say that a seminary degree or like some form of like
What I would say is absolutely. If you're going to be a doctor and you're going to work on my physical being, please be fully equipped. But I would say, depending on what you're going to do, if you're going to be ministering the word, a pastor, training pastors, seminary education is a mandatory necessity. Don't come to the field without it. Someone told me when I wanted to be a pastor, I didn't want to go to seminary. I thought seminary was cemetery, and I did not want to go. I hated the idea of it. I went for a semester. I thought this was close to hell, and left. And I wasn't going to come back. And some pastor said, Shannon, do me a favor. If you don't go to seminary, then do me a favor. Don't ever step in the pulpit. Praise God that he told me that. Praise God he told me that. Because listen, if I'm going to stand up and declare the word of God, I better be equipped to do it. But some of you guys might be a support role to where maybe in that situation, but if you're going to be a support role, make sure you have the adequate degrees, you're as best trained. If you're going to, I want CPAs to come and work and help my finances. I want the best. No more wimp chicken babies who can't go to school and put their time in. We need people who are going to work hard and who are going to get the degrees they need. So I would definitely push people to get that degree. Get that proper education and equipping. Yes.
What if your wife answered a female that would want to do this?
Great question. One thing my wife would say is understand first of all the women's calling. Women's calling is to be a helper. God has made them that way. And so with that, if you're going to be a wife, understand that your calling is not supersede your husband's calling. And the reason being is because for women, they say, I'm called to Asia. Well, their husband doesn't want, it goes, maybe that's the desire when they're dating, but then all of a sudden he gets in another field and doesn't ever want to be a missionary to Asia. And now the wife's saying, but wait a second, I was called to Asia and my husband. And now there's not unity in terms of, and my wife would say, whoa, let's just understand something. Your calling is to be a helper to your husband. So with that, your calling is to him. His calling is to something. And if you're a single missionary, she would say, is that make sure that if you fulfill that role of helper, don't go out and lead the mission, but come out and support a mission that's in line with your mission. So that's how she would say it. Does that sound cool?
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're a Christian, would you say that it's kind of a given that you will be called somewhere, like not even as an international missionary, but just that you will have a burden?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are all called to make Christ known. And you know, making Christ known is just telling people about the glories of God. You know, telling them there is a king. Listen, there's a king. You guys are living like there's no king. There's a king. You know, so absolutely we are all called to ministry. Yes.
As a high school student, what are some opportunities that we can maybe take advantage of other than through our own church?
Great question. What are some opportunities? One, you guys, we could always open up opportunities through a mission like ours. Do me a favor, ask that question again my last session with you, which I think is on Thursday, and so because I'd love to answer that question. That's a great, great question. So make sure you ask it again. What I'm going to do is I'm going to look them over and then try and evaluate and see which ones would be most important to answer. And so if there is anything that you're like, Shannon, you got to tell us about it, then do that. Maybe if there's enough of them, I might just do a question answer time and just abandon what I was planning before. But, you know, we want to address your issues. Yes?
What if you, had a desire and a burden on a group of people? Like, could you go, for, 6 months and be a supportive role and then come back and, you know, be equipped and then go as a leadership role?
Perfect. And one thing I am going to address the last time we're together is what do we do? We have this desire. What do we do? And how do we fulfill that? And so I want to try and discuss that a little bit with you guys. Let me pray for you, then you guys go. Father, we have discussed the issue of calling. Lord, this is not authoritative. There are certain principles here that are evident from your word, and we've just tried to bring them out. And we just pray that you would help each one here. Lord, I pray that each one would live with that calling. As my brothers asked the question, I pray that everyone would understand, evaluate their calling, what it is, and that they would answer that call with zeal and with devotion. be with it, my brethren here. May you continue to love them and aid them. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen.